Thank you for listening to Logically Blonde with me, Tess Buckley. In this podcast, I'll be talking to a variety of guests about a wide range of topics and interests, from pets to politics, charities, music and popular culture, to name just a few, in this, my friendly and light-hearted chat show. If you would like to get in touch, please do so. It's logicallyblonde@outlook.com and you can follow my Twitter account, which is @blondelogically. With me today, I have the wonderful Jonathan Tarpley. I am so happy to speak to you, Jonathan. It's been so long since we've actually had a chat.
Yeah, I was just trying to think how long it's been.
It was a very long time ago.
Yeah,
I think it was in the last time we did an interview like this. I think we were in the old Redshift studio down in Briley Street in Crewe.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I know it was there.
For some reason, I think Dave Dean might have been there with you.
Ooh, yeah, you know, he might have been.
I can't remember. I genuinely can't remember. So it's good. And I'll probably be asking you questions I've asked you a million times before. Completely forgotten that I've asked them to you. So
well, I've forgotten as well. Dave, if you're listening, you know, let us know when that was. So yeah,
you might know, you might remember. We don't. So you've been keeping yourself busy in lockdown.
You know, if it hadn't been for this recording project, I think I'd be feeling a lot more depressed about things than I am, because it's just we've been busy with this EP. I mean, when we've been able to be, I mean, I've been busy with other things as well, you know, the stuff of life, obviously. But yeah, it's just nice to have come out with something positive from the thing that's otherwise been stopped, you know, music.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, my plan was to try and learn how to do more podcasts and start doing this. I think this is my third that I'm actually managing to get around to do properly, record, and then I'll be able to clean it up and edit it, she says. They're never as clean as anybody else's, but I mean, when I say clean, I mean just the editing, not the swearing, not all of the nonsense that I normally do in real life, but just tidying them up.
Through all these lockdowns for nearly a year now, isn't it? I think, like a lot of people, I've been through various different cycles of, you know, like hobbies and things. And one of them for me was, I thought, you know, because I was getting really into podcasts, listening as a listener. And I thought, I'll do my own podcast.
Yes.
And I actually recorded 3 episodes. It took me that long to realise I'm not the right kind of person to present one of these.
The thing is, though, you say this, but there's always somebody who's interested in what you've got to say. It might not be somebody in the UK, it might be somebody around the other side of the world, and you just never know. Yeah, it's an odd thing, because I think with podcasts, it's, you either have this sort of chat show format that I liked. I tried doing it, and this is where the problem came with me. I tried doing a couple on my own and I couldn't do it because it felt so fake, and I'd rather just chat to people. That's what I'm good at. I'm good at talking, and I like meeting new people, speaking to people of, you know, like yourself, who've not spoken to for a long time. And yeah, it sort of works for me this way. But I think if you found like a niche thing that nobody else was podcasting about, you might be onto something. So definitely don't, if it's something that you've got an interest in.
That's partly what I realized. You know, I love listening to podcasts, but it's not really, I don't think broadcasting in that sense, in the way, you know, you've been a radio presenter and now you're doing podcasts, which is similar, I don't think it's really me, but it was just something I got hooked onto for a bit when I was a teenager, and I'd have a different hobby every few months, you know, sort of thing.
I totally get that. I'm sat here in this, we've just moved house. This is why, for my listeners, why I've not managed to put a podcast out for a couple of months, is I've moved house. But I'm sat here, we've got a bigger house now, and we've got our spare room. This is now our hobby room. So I'm looking around the room at all the stuff that we've got. So there's an easel with paints, and we've got Graham's guitars here, and we've got a multitude of books, and just sat here surrounded by stuff that we never use. We're hoping that now we've got this room, we can start being a little bit more creative, and we've actually got the space to do it. But we'll see. And that's kind of why I'm doing my podcast in this room as well, because I want this to be a room where I can, we can do fun things. It's I am one of those people like yourself. You'll pick up a little bit of a hobby and maybe try it for a little bit and then drop it again. So hopefully this is something that's going to be positive out of it. So we'll wait and see.
But I look forward to the paintings and stuff.
Yeah. I've got one. I'm not even joking, Jonathan. I started it 3 years ago. I did all the background. I've got the picture that I'm trying. I took a photo when I was down the Joey in Wisterson. And I did the background for it, so all the green, all the everything, and I've just got to put the flowers on it, and it's been like that for 3 years. I've just never got around to it, so maybe I'll finish that. You have finished something.
I was gonna say you'll feel great when you've done it.
I hope so, because
well, I say that sometimes when you finish something you kind of onto the next thing already, because I'm writing songs already for the next thing, but which I can't talk about because I'm trying to promote this thing.
Yeah, so you might feel like that. One sorted.
So I think with creativity, sometimes when it's just finished, it's just out there, and it's been produced and it's been mastered in terms of music. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel great if you feel that, you know, it's really sounds good. And it might be like that with your painting. Hopefully, when you finish it,
or you might throw it out a window. I get annoyed with the process.
Yeah, but even if you love it, you might at the end of it think, "Oh, I want to do another one now." Forget that one; that's done. That's the past, and that's kind of how it is. That's kind of how I feel with music.
But I think that's common with music, though, isn't it? Especially when it's in your bones, isn't it? Writing, you've been doing it for such a long time, writing and performing music. I mean, how old were you when you first picked up a guitar?
I think I was about 3 or 4, maybe.
Wow.
I don't remember first getting it, and I had a sort of little, like, small size, you know, nylon string classical guitar, like a lot of, it's usually what people get when they're kids, if their parents buy them a guitar and the child, it's usually a classical style guitar. And I still really love that nylon string sound.
Takes you back to childhood.
I think I love it anyway. I think I loved it then. I would like play a string, and before I could even play it, I still do it now sometimes. I play like a single string and hold the sound hole of the guitar up to my ear, and I just love the sound so much, you know.
So it was from that first moment, really. You picked it up and you were just like, "Yes, this is what I love doing."
Yeah,
and it's stuck with you ever since.
I don't think I really took it seriously till I was about 14.
No, but it's having that skill, I think. You will have developed, won't you, how to hold a guitar and all this. Yeah, there's so many elements to it. And you teach now as well, don't you? You teach children and adults and anybody who's willing to learn.
And actually, thinking of the painting thing, I've done one painting in my life that wasn't through school or something. And I'm very impatient, I think, how could I sit and do a painting or something? With music, for some reason, I've got patience when it comes to music. So it's something that really, and the whole process, the recording and rehearsing and as well as performing and stuff, you know.
As you've just discussed, the going on to the next one before you've even landed this one. It's just when you've got those creative bones, you want to be thinking about something and carrying on and doing more and more, don't you? It's not just about the end product, like you say, it's sort of learning and growing from it. So this is actually, it's not just yourself on this one, is it? This is the your band, the Blue Yellows.
It's definitely, I'm just a small part of it in a way.
A quarter of it.
I wrote the songs. Less than that, actually, because, you know, I wrote the songs, but when you work with other musicians, and obviously these guys are, you know, my main gang, as it were, you know, it changes, you know, the way Dave plays drums, the way Simon plays bass, the way Emma plays keyboards, backing vocals, it creates another world to that song, it's like a difference between a sketch and a huge Hollywood movie, you know. It changes.
Everyone brings something, don't they? When you're in a band like yours, and I've been listening to it. You sent me the link to it last night. So there's a few different songs. So I like the self-titled one. So the Minute in the Sun. I loved that. It's quite, that for me gives me sort of vibes of I don't know if it's just because of COVID and lockdown and not being able to experience it, but you know, just the idea of sitting in a field in a festival in the sun, having a drink with your mates, and it's that sort of vibe about it, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you get that from it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Genuinely, I was listening to it.
It's a hope. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
and the other one that I really wanted to talk about with you, because I was singing the chorus to it, and you probably know which one I'm going to say before I even tell you. I listened to it, and by the time the second chorus was going around, so it's "Where Is the Lorax?" That's amazing.
Oh yeah.
I love that. I love it. I really do. And do you know what? It sounds like such a friendly and happy song. And then I was listening to it again. And what's the lyric? She's got a bullet with your name on it. Is it? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was just like, it sounds like such a happy, upbeat song. And I was like, that's quite a dark lyric amongst all the you know, sort of smiley, happy noises that are being made. And that, genuinely, I was genuinely singing along with that after the first chorus. And I think that's quite an achievement with a song, to make it that sort of earwormy and catchy, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad. Again, I'm glad you like it. And yeah. It is one of those things where I was going to say technique, but it's not something I thought out like, oh, I'm going to do one of these sort of songs. But you know, the sort of thing of that juxtaposition between a happy tune and very dark lyrics, you know. And I guess I've got my lyrics now, but like the princess of, you know, the forest is a princess, or I don't know, or she's some kind of spirit of the forest, and there's a kind of story, like an ecological story, that if we do it in, it will, she'll do us in, kind of.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, it's
something along those lines. Yeah,
yeah, it's like I say, really catchy, and the one that I found, which was a bit different to your other stuff. I think if you had the Blue Yellows as a band, you've been together for quite some time, but I think you've had a bit of a change of lineup quite recently.
Well, yeah, I mean, Hayley was our original drummer, Hayley Worsdale. Mm-hmm. I think it's been about, I'm really rubbish at timing, but I think it's been about 5 years.
Oh, you're kidding. That seems so current. This is me. You can't remember why you're in the studio like 8 years ago with Dave. So
yeah,
wow.
What did it. She heard. She heard that interview. Thought, I'm not having anything to do with it. No, not really. No, it was a very amicable, thing. She's still great friends with everybody in the band and everything. And she actually, the cover photo, not photo. This is a painting for you. Actually, if you look up, like on our Bandcamp page or anywhere else, mm-hmm. Kitchen Sessions, the last album we did, the cover image, the cover painting is one Hayley did.
Oh wow, I'll have to have a look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, yeah. And
I was sort of going down that route was because the second song, Who Put Bella in the White Elm, is that how am I saying that right?
It's called a witch elm.
Witch elm. You know, this is from White Wood, and we just like to pronounce things weird around here, don't we? Or well, I do.
You might be right. It might be a white elm.
But it's that came on first. It's not the first on the playlist, and that one came in first. And it sounded to me, compared to the stuff that I've heard of yours before, a bit heavier.
Yeah, Dave. If you're listening, Dave. Dave Coomer has been our drummer for the last, as I say, maybe 5 or 6 years or something like that. And he's a really full-on rock guy, yeah.
Right. So that's where that's come from then.
Yeah, so with him we've got this, you know, and for him, you know, I think it would have been a big challenge for a lot of drummers, but for him, rapid fills and, you know, powerful stuff, I think he did it in one take. It was just easy for him, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, great guy. He's a really, 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 really funny guy, and he's always provides a lot of laughter for us all as well.
That's amazing. You know, it's building on that, you know, what you were saying about all these different people bringing their creative elements to the table and what comes out at the end, because from one song to the next they're quite different. And like I said, when I heard that one I was like, wow, this is a step away from what I remember from the guys. But then like I said, you've got the Minute in the Sun, which is perhaps more of a throwback to your older songs, perhaps, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're necessarily going, well, it's difficult to know exactly, because I'm writing songs now, and how they evolve with the band is an unknown thing at the moment until we get back together again. Yeah. So I don't necessarily think we're going in a more rocky direction, but, you know, with Dave, we've definitely got that. Sorry, I'm interrupting myself now.
It makes a change. It's normally me.
You know, it is like, going back to the painting thing, every person brings their own colours and their own, you know, if I'm a paint roller, you know, another member of the band might be a paintbrush, another one might be an airbrush of purple, another one, and it all comes together in a unique way that none of us could do on our own, you know. But the great thing about, as I say, we've got the capability of doing much heavier stuff. Yeah, Dave, definitely. Yeah.
But this is what you just touched on it there about doing this on your own. So this has been completely written in isolation individually. You've all taken your bits away, I guess. And how did that work? How did you manage to write a song when you weren't in the same room as each other? And I guess that must have been quite different.
Not really, because nearly always I find it much easier to write on my own.
Okay.
So what happens then is I bring the song to the band, and that's when it evolves. So the song's written, as it were, but then it evolves with the way the band, their styles of playing it and their where they take it, you know, and they bring their own. So in terms of the melodic instruments, so piano from Emma and Simon's bass and backing vocals, they all have their own melody lines as well, so they bring in other dimensions to it as well.
I thought you were going to say, oh, it was really difficult test, it's dead complicated, you know, we've had to change the whole style and the way we write, and then you're like, nah, this is what I always do.
No. You know, the thing that was more difficult, potentially, is just, this was all recorded incredibly fast, actually. It was literally, everyone was in a studio for maybe an hour each or something like that. It was ridiculous. But it took months and months to do because of lockdowns. So I think I was just looking the other day, and there was a gap between, I think we did some recording on February the 9th or something last year, and then we couldn't actually get into the studio again until July because of the restrictions, you know, and then it was one at a time.
Yeah. This is the same thing we've had with, because I would much prefer, we've got all the kit set up in the studio at Redshift now so that we can do interviews with people, and we basically press record and extract and then take it home and edit it. But we're having to do it this way on Zoom, and it's, it just makes things really difficult for us in that sense. I'd much rather be sat in a room having a chat to you and the others as well, but I don't know how long it's going to be. I think where we've just got this one-to-one sort of thing, even when we go back into the studio, I'm guessing, I mean, I've seen how people record music in, you know, previously, but I guess there's an element of you have to do your own bits anyway in the studio.
Yeah, that's it. And in fact, our producer, he's a really good friend of ours, Jose. You can find him online as Manu Arteaga. He's a Spanish guy. Okay. Lived in Britain for a long, long time. He's a really good friend of all of ours. And I was talking about this the other day because he was saying, oh, you're on that podcast. There's someone else's podcast. you're on about how they were asking about how weird it was to go in the studio one at a time. Jose said he's been a producer for years and years and produced music for Spanish theatre productions and stuff like that, and films, you know.
Oh, wow.
Did some really successful stuff like that. He was originally an indie musician playing in indie bands in Spain.
Okay.
But he was saying, well, I've always recorded like that. I've never had the whole band.
Is it us Brits being weird to the rest of the world again?
Well, it's really made me think about it, but actually often you all go into the studio at once because you all bring your own ideas and you all want to hear it. But very often in previous recordings we've done, at some point or at certain times, we all play together at the same time so we can get off in each other's, you know, jamming away together sort of thing. But actually when it comes down to it, a lot of the tracks are recorded individually anyway. And Jose, I must, you know, say a huge thank you to him because I mean, it's been really nice that he's such close friends with us, because it's made that really easy to go in there and just do our best.
And he understood what you wanted, I guess.
Yeah.
And...
But he brought his own, you know, you mentioned Where's the Lorax, for example. So the strings behind M's piano on that is, you know, that's, he brought that to the production, you know,
okay.
And the, and some of the backing vocals in, I can't remember the name of the song, isn't it?
the
opening one, A Minute in the Sun. He's added so much, you know, to it. And, but most of all, his ear for sound is incredible. And I've not, I can't remember what the original question was.
We're just talking, you were just wanting to say thank you to him. That's all that we were going for. And I mean, you turned it into an Oscar speech, but that's great because that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I think that level of thanks is appreciated. Yeah, mum, dad, and the world. But
Jose's hamster, Alfie, is very important and making us feel at home. Big shout out to Alfie.
Oh, that's so funny. I think the important thing from this is that you want people to hear your music, obviously, and that's why you've come to me to do a podcast. And it's really nice for you to have approached me to come on one of my, come on to my shows, because when you first start, obviously I've got my radio show in the past, but starting podcasting, I've been, we touched on it before, a little bit apprehensive, sort of dipping my toe in the water a little bit with it. So it was quite nice for someone to say, oh, Tess, will you interview me? And I was like, yes, I'd love to, Jonathan, as soon as I get a chance. And do you know what? With the house move and everything, you sent me that text last week and I was like, oh my God, yes, I'd love to interview you still. And totally forgotten we'd had that chat. When was it? Before Christmas?
Yeah,
wrong
probably,
person to ask. Who was going
to
remember?
No, it's just like, to be honest with you, you know, I know you're really good at all, you know, presenting and all this sort of stuff. And
it's the editing side I struggle with.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's like those things, like a lot of things in music. Some things you just have to do, you know, have to get done to do what you want to do, don't you, I guess?
Yeah.
But no, you know, I approached you, Tess, and the podcast because it's like, we need to publicise this. we've done it, but as you say, getting people to actually listen to it is, in a way,
getting it out there. And the frustration we've got this year, of course, is things like Jazz Festival, again, where I'm sat listening to your album over my lunch from my coffee, and I'm sat there thinking, oh, this could be, we could be sat in the Bowling Green garden, or we could be in the White Horse outside having a beer in Nantwich. And it's just like, oh, it's such a shame that we're still not quite out of this COVID situation, because these settings would be ideal for this album. That's what I think anyway from listening to it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
No, genuinely yeah. I think so. It's just nice to have that, just something to take you away from sitting at you know, all of us are probably sick of looking at a Zoom screen all day, or we're all just fed up of being inside our four walls. And maybe now is the right time for you to be releasing this, actually, because we're sort of stepping out of lockdown and it's those happy vibes that we're getting from it. So it's, I think, hopefully this is a good time to be launched.
In a way, I mean, last March was, I guess, kind of a novelty and kind of weird and gorgeous spring as well. So walking around with no traffic and no airplane trails, or never heard so many woodpeckers in my life. You know, all my life put together compared to last March and April, I've heard more last March and April than the whole of my rest of my life put together. So there were some amazing things about it then. But now, as you say, I think just everybody, especially with, you know, it's great spring and summer's on the way, I think we're kind of fed up with novelty now. And the idea of, you know, playing gigs and sitting in the sunshine with lots of people, that would be, it just feels like a dream
right now. It does. And it's like,
hopefully it's on the way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this whole idea that, oh, we can see, hopefully, in a few weeks' time, we can meet six people outside socially distanced. And you're just like, oh my God, we can see people. It's going to be amazing. And do you know what? We'll probably be 6 months into it and be like, oh, right then. Can you come out tonight? Nah, not feeling it tonight. I'm going to stay in. Feel like having a cup of coffee and a hot hot chocolate comment, you know, that sort of thing. I wonder how long it's going to be. Are we going to start taking it for granted again straight away? Or, oh, I hope not. I really hope not. But yeah, like I say, it's a shame we're missing Jazz Festival so that you can actually get this out there, because I think this is going to be really good when we can see it live. But equally, it's just nice that we can, you know, that you can share this and then hopefully give people a bit of some positive vibes stepping out of COVID, which would be great. So I really like it. So I would urge any of my listeners just to certainly have a listen to it. And where can they do that, Jonathan?
It's available on all the usual kind of streaming sites. So Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon Music and Deezer, and there's loads I never even heard of until, you know,
say, I've not heard of half quick of those.
And it's on a thing called Bandcamp, which is popular with like sort of niche people who are really into music. Some of them will know about Bandcamp, and you can find us there.
That's
under Happy
what you
Juice
sent it
Records.
Me on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not heard of it before, and I was like, oh, what's this? Is this like a new MySpace? And that's how old I am.
Well, it's become popular because there are a lot, I'm sure you've heard, you know, how you can get tens of thousands of streams on Spotify and just make a couple of quid out of it, sort of thing. And I think Bandcamp's become popular with musicians and music fans, because the music fans know they go there and the artist actually gets most of the money.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so...
Oh, God, yeah, I'll tell but, people you know, about that then. Definitely.
Yeah, but to be honest with this, we're not, you know, we really just want people to listen to it. We want people to hear it. So I don't mind if they just... you know, listen to it for free, in a sense. You know, that's the most important thing to us, really.
It's so lovely. But again, that's just you and you. I don't know. It's a difficult thing because you've got this. It's a difficult battle, isn't it? You want people to hear your music, but when you've put hours of tears and sweat and everything you've got into this album, and then the likes of Spotify are the people who are sort of taking the creaming the money off the top, and the big corporations, it's just a really difficult thing to balance, isn't it? And it's the same with anything creative.
But at the end of the day, you know, this is going to sound really pretentious now. Mm-hmm. Pretentiousness alert. You know, we're an arts band, if you like. You know what I mean? If we were in it to make money, we'd be out every weekend playing Stuck in the Middle with You and the things that always go down really, really, really well. You know, we're not in it to do that and pay.
No, I get that.
But you know, well paid gigs all the time, and you know, we're in it for the art, you know. So we're more concerned that people listen than
you. I think you're one of those bands that could play. Certainly the Words and Music Festival is very much your scene.
I think there's some festivals that are more original music. Mm. In fact, a lot of them are, actually. I've never added it up, but we probably play more festivals than, like, pub gigs. Because pub gigs generally... because pubs normally want, you know, crowd pleasers, you know.
Yeah,
so stuff
true.
That every... Yeah, stuff everybody knows. I mean, there are like proper music pubs, you know, having said that. So, you know, pubs and clubs that are really into the music thing and usually have music on several nights a week, that's the sort of place we probably play.
Yeah.
Rather than just on a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah,
that's
when people are getting absolutely hammered and dancing around to whatever's being played. And that's the thing,
exactly.
Isn't it? This is more about sitting and listening to your lyrics, listening to the music that you guys are putting out. And like you say, it is more arty music, but that doesn't take away from the fact that they're quite catchy. I already spoke earlier about Where Is the Lorax. I think that one is so catchy. It could almost be a pop song, you know, when you listen to it. And I really rate that one. So definitely check it out. I will put some links into, when I upload this podcast, I'll put some links to yourself and to the band, just so people can track you down as well. But was there any other, did you want to do any other shout outs? If we mentioned everybody in the band, I think we have, haven't we?
I feel terrible about forgetting. Oh, and maybe one more. Jose's daughter, Alba. She did some backing vocals for us as well. So if you get to listen to this, Alba, she's 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
I probably got that wrong. So she's at the back of it, isn't it?
She's probably 24. And and yeah, I think she's 12.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely though. Like you said, he's really,
sure she's 12, yeah.
He's put, not only has he given you his insight and his input, he's let you, his daughter's help as well. So that's just really sweet. I love that. Really.
Yeah.
It comes through, doesn't it? You can hear all the love in the music and the passion that's gone in there. It's not just something that's been thrown together. There's been a lot of thought, hasn't there, in the whole process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you for noticing that. It's nice that you noticed that, yeah.
No, well, you can. You can when you see different... I mean, I've spoken and I've interviewed so many bands over the years, and there's so many who are the complete opposite end of the scale to you, who are in it just for... They want the fame, they want the fortune, they want... they're just playing songs that... I don't know, like you say, just the ones literally to please people for all of 10 minutes and then be a passing phase sort of thing, whereas this is a labour of love and you can hear it. You really can.
Yeah, and it's nice. I don't want to come across as being anti-streaming or anything, you know, because we had a guy in California, Matt in California, and his wife who sent us a message saying, you know, enjoying the new EP out there, you know, and somebody on YouTube called Bish, I don't know who Bish or what Bish is, but he's, you know, he or she has been loving it as well, you know, so it's great to get these, to know it's out there in the whole world, you know, and that's, if it touches people wherever they are, it's just a great feeling. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. I think we do, it's that whole social media love hate with the internet sort of thing. When it's used well, it can be done, you can use it well, and you use it in a positive way. You can share your music and you get this wonderful feedback, but then you've also got the other end again where it's all about the money and take, and it's just finding that fine balance. I think, again, it's been amazing talking to you, Jonathan. I said to you we'll try and get 20 minutes and we've both gone on as normal. I don't know how I ever had you in the studio and managed to get all the ad breaks in and everything else we used to have, because I don't know how we managed that when it was us two, and especially if Dave was with us, we must have just skipped over. I'm guessing.
Dave's like he's got, you know, when he's in radio or interviewing or interviewer or interviewee mode, he's got that kind of rapid fire brain of, like, you know, coming out with stuff. Yeah.
And I just, his makes sense. For things that fall out of his mouth make sense. Things fall out of my mouth, then I'll listen back to it and I'll be like, why the hell did you say that? And just, you've either got it or you haven't. And Dave's one who's got it, I think.
Well, you've got it as well, just in a different way.
Slightly blonde,
like being...
hence the title.
That's it.
Of the show.
That's what you should call it.
Funny you should call it that, Tess. That's why it's called Logically Blonde. It's my blonde logic somewhere. It does make sense in my mind. Whether that translates to our friends and listeners at home, I don't know. But hopefully they've got a good understanding of who you are and what Blue Yellows are. And they know where to find you now as well. So thank you so much for your time, Jonathan. And
okay, thanks. Thank you for having me, Tess.
And hopefully, in a few months' time, maybe 6 months' time, we can actually go in the studio and do this properly and have a face-to-face chat, which would be really nice.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah. You can tell me about finishing that painting as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably just give you the canvas and some paintbrushes and go, please take it away, Jonathan. Can't cope anymore. All right, mate. It's been lovely speaking to you. You take care.
And you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Logically Blonde with me, Tess Buckley. In this podcast, I'll be talking to a variety of guests about a wide range of topics and interests, from pets to politics, charities, music and popular culture, to name just a few, in this, my friendly and light-hearted chat show. If you would like to get in touch, please do so. It's logicallyblonde@outlook.com, and you can follow my Twitter account, which is @blondelogically.